Meow, 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 meow. Floating high above intergalactic prairie studios, light years above Glenn Beck's ego, broadcasting from Pod Bay, too gay, Keene, New Hampshire. This is the Freedom Fiends. This show is covered by the BitCut NoGov license and warms your medulla oblongata to a toasty and tasty 375 degrees. It heals the sick. It cures the blind. Put your hands on the radio, ladies and lumberjacks. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Dan Green, can you feel it?
Oh, I can feel it very strongly.
I can feel it tonight, Dan Green. How are you? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I have not been contacted by the government, although I'm sure they're going to get me on council tax soon, but we'll just leave that as is.
Yeah, that's a shame they haven't contacted you. How do you know they care? Don't they drop you a line? They don't call anymore.
Oh, they care. They care. Believe me, they care. They care about getting the money out of me. You wouldn't believe how much they care.
Yeah. I've been contacted by the government again. It seems like not a week goes by where that isn't the case, but it's true. I will be in court again for, I think, the fourth time this month. This time as a key witness in a recent, a property damages case or something. Actually, something involving maybe some real victims. So it should be fun. We'll see what happens. I should be asked some questions on the stand by the prosecutor. And this time I have almost no chance of getting in trouble, so I can say pretty much anything, and it should be all right. Pretty weird.
Does that feel strange for you to go into court and not get handed a fine or something?
Yeah, it's like about half the time now, though. The times when I go into court, there's no danger of anything happening to me. It's pretty weird, and I dig it. I prefer it this way. But yeah, basically, if I could just tell the story real quick. We'll have more details next week, probably, but I went on this bad date recently. It was so bad, Dan. It ended up this... gosh. So this guy who's he's facing charges, apparently relating to property damages outside of some apartments in Keene, where I live. And I went on this date with him. I wasn't really liking him, and it was like, time to go. Like, this is not going to end well. Let us just go our separate ways early. And
fake phone call time.
Yeah. It's like fake phone call time, totally. But I don't even fake a phone call. I'm just like clear. Like, look, I don't think this is going to work out. And I start leaving. He's all upset at the way things are ending so abruptly and chases me out of his apartment in his underwear. I don't even look back. You know, like he's I'm fully clothed. I'm walking out the door. I'm not even going to turn around. But he's in his underwear screaming. And pounding on the walls and things, slams the door shut behind him and realizes, I don't have my key. I'm in my underwear. How am I going to get back into this apartment? So he's banging on the walls. He's banging on the doors. Apparently, he broke a bunch of stuff on his way back up. So bad, the police were called. And so I have been named as a key witness in this crime. So they're going to be asking me about my bad date on the stand. And I can't wait to see what sort of video erupts from that. Because, you know, they're not going to want the details that I'm going to give. You know, like, this is my one time where normally when during a police interrogation where you're sitting on the witness stand, they're like prying information out of you, right? But I'm going to be just all too willing to tell the full story, and they're probably going to be keeping some information from being heard. So it should be funny.
Yeah, it's interesting. I try and stay out of courtrooms as much as possible. I mean, the only time I've really been in one was when I had to do duty or service or whatever you want to call it. And the only good part about that was that they gave you free lunch, and the lunch was actually pretty good. I was surprised by how good lunch was. Yeah, who says there's no such thing as a free lunch?
How does a free
Although
lunch
my
taste?
My tax is paying for it.
Yeah, it's the most expensive free lunch you've ever had. Hey, tell me this. Do they wear the silly wigs in British courts and Scottish courts as well?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, you see all that. Actually, I remember the judge we had was a total stereotype of like a Scottish judge. You know, even the way he talked was sort of very posh and like this. And even, you know, down to the having the glasses perched on the end of his nose sort of thing.
Really?
But like after, after the lunch that I said that I actually liked so much, it was really warm in the courtroom and I'd get really tired. And I felt like every time I started to doze off, because it got really boring after a while. So every time I started to doze off, the judge seemed to be like staring at me, and it actually bothered me at the time. I kept like getting worried that the judge was looking at me when I was trying to sleep.
Oh no. What could he have done to you? No sleeping. Daniel, wake up. I won't have this in my courtroom.
I think I was in my young 20s and I kind of felt like I was right back in school again, you know. It was that kind of way.
Yeah.
It was actually a really weird experience because it was like a case that started out quite interesting. You know, there was prostitutes and people getting stabbed and things.
Oh,
and
right.
It was interesting. But yeah. Then it just descended into showing every new witness the same piece of CCTV footage that we'd already seen and asking who each man is.
Oh, boring.
You know, and it was actually weeks of that. Just by the end, I was like, man, we know who everybody is.
That's,
you know,
brutal.
It was terrible. Yeah, it was.
At a certain point, so was that a government case? Was the government prosecuting a person? Or was it a regular person?
This was a real crime. Someone had actually been, like, sort of robbed and stabbed. So it was, like, it was an actual crime. I don't even think I'm supposed to be saying what happened. I think
that's fine.
I'm not supposed to say, who cares? This is on the US radio.
Yeah, it's all for entertainment purposes. This never really happened. So, yeah, but about government people prosecuting, I feel like they're less inclined to take a jury's time as valuable. Like, a private defense attorney is going to waste only as much time as he has to. You know, they're not going to make a jury mad at them by showing them extra video and being like, okay, prove to us for the 50th time who this person is. But a government guy, there's no incentive for him not to, right? Like, they're just racking up the bill. Yeah. So,
oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, this is sort of going the way I wanted it tonight. I wanted to talk a little bit about policing and the people who own you. You know, I'm wearing my copblock.org hoodie tonight, in a very special tip of the hat or tip of the hood to Freddie Gray. Have you heard of this name, Dan? Has this been on your radar?
Yeah, that name's come up a few times, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that I tried to avoid hearing about. Like, honestly, I've had a lot of trouble with this story. For those who don't know, Freddie Gray is another person who was killed, but this time, you know, this time by police, but it's sort of hard to say how. He was arrested and in transport to the jail. Died due to spinal cord injuries and injuries also indicated in his voice box, his larynx. So, really strange story, and one that I honestly tried to avoid because it's sort of negative, but it's caused an eruption in Baltimore, and people just can't get enough of talking about it. And so, I read a little bit about it today, and it's I don't know, it's given me problems, Dan. I feel like a hypocrite. Because here I am wearing this Cop Block hoodie, talking about police brutality all the time. I host a show called Cop Block Radio. And then in my private life, I like wave to the police. I'm super friendly with all of them. I know them by first name and usually use their first names. See them in court. I've shaken their hands the last time I saw, you know, a police officer here. So, like, I have a very cordial, one-on-one, happy, peaceful relationship with the police here in Keene. But then the other side of me has this, you know, the police are a murderous gang of thugs. They're like violent dogs. You know, they're beasts of prey who, you know, if you call 911, you're pretty much asking for a beating. You know, and so, like, I've got these dual realities that I'm struggling with. And I wanted to reconcile that with you tonight. Maybe you can help me.
How will we go about reconciling this, Derek?
I don't know. I just figured maybe we could talk about this Freddie Gray guy and come to some, like, meaningful conclusion about, like, yeah, police are people. You know, they're people. They're like you and me, and they're not this special class of humans. Like, I am often guilty of making them out to be. You know, they're not these lions to our gazelle, as I, you know, often paint the picture. But I don't know, maybe you disagree. What do you think about that? Are police the lions to our limpy gazelle?
They kind of are in a way, you know, like, when you think about it, sometimes I say, like, when people talk about should we be, is it okay for us to attack police or whatever, I kind of think, well, some of sincerely, like, it's like some what they're doing is a good thing and the right thing. And so you can't really blame people for that. You know, maybe we would say that they're misinformed. On the other side of that coin, you know, there is probably some people who know exactly what they're doing. There's actually a great film that came out not so long ago called Filth. It's on Netflix, and it's based on an Irvine Welsh novel. And it's about a totally crazy, corrupt sort of policeman in Scotland and Edinburgh. It's really quite good, actually. But I think it's both, you know. So I think you do get the guys on one side that are just totally, they know what they're doing and that's what they're out for. But there is guys who are sincerely, and women as well, obviously, who sincerely think that what they're doing is the right thing. And they're the kind of people that, you know, maybe you could sit them down and they might, you know, get, you know, liberty and freedom and things if you just explained it to them.
Yeah.
Maybe they've never had it explained to them.
One of the ideas that I really like,
I go on that.
I've seen folks do this in the States, and maybe they do this in the UK as well. It's like donut with a cop day, or have coffee with a cop. Basically, people choose a weekend, usually a morning, to sit down with police. They host an event on Facebook and say, like, hey, come on down to the McDonald's in our area, and we're going to be hosting a breakfast, you know, giving away free coffee or whatever the event is. Maybe everyone buys their own meal, but the point is to be together in the same place and have a little bit of camaraderie, have some discussions, and just have, like, some unity. Because it's hard to be at each other's throats when you're eating breakfast.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the problem is I don't get hassled by the police so much. The police force is used to be separate here in Scotland. The thing you're talking about, we don't have anything like that, well, here that I've ever heard of. We used to have like 8 regional police forces, but then this authoritarian party, the Scottish National Party, who are in power, they made it one police force called Police Scotland. So now it's just like, it used to be that the commissioner, not the commissioner, I think it's the chief constable, actually, yeah. He used to be accountable to the people, the elected representatives, but not anymore.
So they're all appointed now? It's just a bunch of faceless bureaucrats?
Yep, an appointed committee the chief constable is responsible to.
At least they don't have guns where you are.
Oh, it's on the rise.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Meow. 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 Police. And I'm a big fat hypocrite. Because I love them and hate them. And we've got to reconcile that somehow tonight. So I'll tell you the truth, Dan. The truth is, my brother, that when I was in first grade and I was asked for our first grade yearbook, what do you want to be when you grow up, Derek? I thought about it and decided, I want to be a cop. And that's what I wrote. And it really shames me to this day every time I crack open my first grade yearbook and see my smiling youngster face. And underneath it says, a cop. That's what I want to be. And that's not what I want to be anymore. I don't respect the police because the police, they're not people who have earned my respect. Some individuals who are police have earned my respect, but just people who slap on a uniform and a badge, that does not make me bow, or that does not endear me to obey orders, let's say it that way. Mm-hmm. I do bow to the gun, because people who threaten me with guns, be they criminal or otherwise, they will get me to comply, maybe, but it doesn't mean I respect them. You know what I mean?
No, I do. I do.
Yeah.
I'll go you one better on the, you know, you wanted to be a cop when you were younger sort of thing. there was a time years ago, I was a younger man, I was actually interestingly working as an undertaker at this time, and the Scottish Police Force were doing a massive drive, and I had an interview booked and everything, when I was like, well, I must have been 20 or 21 probably.
Yeah.
And I had an interview booked and everything, but I'd been out the night before drinking, and I showed up late to the interview, and so they said they had to terminate my application, so I never got the job. So
well, that's the luckiest hangover ever. Good thing.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
I'm really glad now, because sometimes I wonder, like, I think, what would my life have been? I have one of those sliding doors moments where I wonder what my life would have been like had I became a cop at a young age like that.
No, it would not have worked out. I'm going to tell you right now.
I don't think so. This is more fun.
I've seen your alternative future, and you also quit being a cop. Both of you.
It can't end up on possible. The fiends anyway.
Yeah, you end up on the fiends later.
It's not like that episode of Friends, remember when there's an episode of Friends when it's like the old different things happen to them, like Ross stays married and Phoebe becomes like a stockbroker or something, but then at the end they all end up in the place they would have been anyway.
Oh, that's cute. No, I haven't seen that. That's funny. I don't know. Back to this guy, Freddie Gray. The reason it bothers me so much is because we're almost exactly the same age. He is or was 25 when he was killed. I'm 25 now. Our birthdays are pretty close to the same. And I just see myself in this person. Because basically the story goes, this guy, Freddie, was walking around Baltimore, West Baltimore, which I guess is where he lived. And he saw a cop who happened to be a lieutenant. Right? I don't know if he knew that at the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the cop says that they sort of met eyes, like that Freddie saw him. And when Freddie saw him, Freddie ran. And this was apparently enough of an investigation, or this is what they call police work now. The police decided that he was now a suspect in a crime. I don't know what crime the police suspected him of committing. I'm not really sure even what he was arrested for. What were his charges exactly? But anyway, he did run from the police officer. The police officer tackled him. They said that they patted him down, found a knife on him, and that they put him in the paddy wagon, put him in the back of the police car. And then the police car...
Racial term, Derek.
Pardon?
Paddy wagon is a racial term. It's a racial term. It was an anti-Irish person term. But
what? Really?
Wow. Yeah,
that shows how much I know. Wagon. I'm totally ignorant to that. What does that mean? How is it racially loaded? I still don't see the connection.
Well, because see, when you had the sort of Irish when they first were in like New York and stuff like that, they were kind of considered to be like, you know, it's obviously a very different time. They were considered to be more like the black people, if you know what I mean, the way, you know, they would drink and the way they behaved, and they lived in large families and things like that. And then when you saw, like, you know, you know, you've got the classic stereotype of the sort of Irish descent, you know, New York cop. Once the kind of Irish community started like joining the police and the military and things like that, they started to become sort of more accepted into polite society sort of thing. So that's why they used to call it a paddy wagon, from what I know. From what I've heard, is because it was like, you know, this whole joke that the police are all Irish and stuff like that.
Wow.
So that's, and paddy is a term for, like, it's a derogatory term for an Irishman, and it's also, I know a lot of people call it that, but like, it's the kind of, you see a random Irishman, you go, ho, paddy. Like, if you see a random Scottishman, you don't know his name, older people say, ho, Jim! Like, oh.
Wow. Well, I hope I didn't offend anyone. That certainly wasn't my intention. But I think the term comes from around here.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. Thank you for that information. I'll try and be more sensitive.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed,
Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Metal. Maybe we'll talk about black metal. We'll get there. There'll be a smooth transition right into black metal somehow.
I'll just get called that black metal guy if I always talk about it.
That's okay. I like it. I dig it.
Police, you were telling me a story and I interrupted you, Derek, before the break.
I don't know. The police, what about them? They chase people down. I'm still having this problem of being like, how am I these two people where in my personal life I'm all Mr. like, let's all get along and sing songs and be happy and not, you know, be mad at the police. But then in all my other, you know what? I'm not two people in this regard, because even though I'm friendly to the police, like, I still do all the same things that I recommend other people do. Like, I record the police. All interactions with the police, I record them. And I recommend everyone do that. And
very few people do that here.
What? Really? Everyone's doing that here now.
In my experience, very few.
All right. Why? What's? Mm-hmm. I mean, get on it, man.
Let's just
teach them.
Yeah, I know. Teach them your ways.
Yeah, don't they know that they need to protect themselves with video? I mean, I guess there aren't as many people dying at the hands of Police Scotland, I guess. Like, so you were telling me they're sort of centralizing power in Scotland. How is that? It used to be that the head police chief was an elected person, but now he's not. They're appointed.
Well, what happened was, it was like eight different localized police forces, and then they made it into one called Police Scotland. The chief constable, he used to be accountable to elected councillors, but now he's only accountable to a new appointed body.
Was he ever really accountable?
I know, that's a question I've kind of turned over in my head as well. Was he ever really? But it's even just the symbolic nature of taking his, you know, like, his accountability away from elected officials and putting it towards an appointed body. I mean, come on, man, that's, for a start, it's just that gesture.
Yeah.
And
it's a step in the wrong direction.
Absolutely, yeah. And increasingly, police in Scotland, they haven't been armed because we're disarmed as a population. So come on, let's play fair here. If we don't have the guns, you shouldn't have them. And they've been increasingly deploying armed police to routine calls. You know, so that's another worrying development as well. And especially, they've got new stop and search powers. They've searched kids under 12. They can stop and search you for no reason at all now. So under the Scottish National Party, who have actually been, there's a great article about how they're the most authoritarian party in Britain. It's a bit of a tongue twister. But yeah, they really are, and it just shows you with this how they've stepped up policing in such a brutal way in this country.
So, like, I don't have a problem with the idea of policing. I think policing is good. Self-policing. Mm-hmm. Like, we can police each other. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you've got your own policing mechanisms in your own daily life. Sometimes people have give a penny, take a penny jar. Well, I guess most people don't think about this as policing, but like, there's cultural pressure not to take all the money in the give a penny, take a penny jar. Most people, you could do it. It wouldn't be disallowed. It wouldn't even be a crime. I don't think it's there for you to use or take or whatever. It even says take a penny. But if you were to empty it into your pockets, just the fact that there are other people there being like, excuse me, you know, like, is enough for people not to do it. The social pressure. And I like that kind of policing where it's parallel, where it's not like, oh, one person has more power than you. It's that your equals are going to be like, hey, that's not cool. That's not okay. So, like, if there's a fight on a train, I feel like it should be your equals who stop it, not some people who have authority on top of you, who are more powerful than you. It's not top down. It's like, there's no hierarchy to this power, to this enforcement. You know what I mean? It should be a parallel.
I do, actually. I know what you mean. It makes me think of, I was brought up Catholic, and we used to go to church every Sunday, and they pass around the collection plate, and it's the same kind of thing, you know, you put the wee plate and it goes around all the people sitting in the pews, and they all put some money in.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one would ever, like, take anything out or, like, make change from it, you know, that would be, everyone around you would be on top of you if you did that, you know?
I don't even think anyone would stop you or do anything. It would just be the fact that they know that is enough to stop a person from doing anything. Anything at all with the plate, except for adding to it.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. And I know what you mean, like, we can do this kind of thing. And it's almost like if you use the police in a way, you could make the argument that you're just outsourcing your violence to someone else. So, like, if your neighbor's having a crazy party and you've got to take it up for work at, say, 6 in the morning, you know, it's a stupid thing, I think, just to go immediately to call the police instead of you going over there yourself and seeing if you can reason with them. Personally,
yeah.
You know, just each person instead of just immediately calling in a state third party to deal with it.
I absolutely agree. This came up on another great show called Free Talk Live, and it was at the very end of the last episode where a caller asked the question, when is it appropriate to call the police, in your view? Because, you know, Ian and Mark, the hosts of the show, I think hold a generally pretty negative opinion of the police and wouldn't call them in most circumstances. I myself almost would never. I mean, I've vowed to never call the police. I think there's always someone better to call, be it a friend or a company, to come for my safety or whatever I need the police for. But what do you think about that? I mean, do you have the same opinion? Is it ever okay to call the police? Because this happened right here in Keene, New Hampshire, where a friend of mine who's, like, sort of within the activist community, he goes out and films the police on a regular basis. He does some of the most cop blocking in the area, you know, recording the police during their course of their duties. And he had a conflict with a neighbor just 3 doors down from me, decided to call the police on this guy. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Here you are, Mr. I film the police all the time. I see them as the enemy. I see them as no good, you know, scum who are blood-sucking off of our tax money and abusing people. And then you call them to solve your problems? Like, hello, double standard? Like, what are you thinking? And, you know, he felt like it was justified to call the police because who else do you call? And I sort of see his argument, but, you know, what do you think? Who else do you call, and when is it appropriate to call them?
No, I completely see what you mean, because it does have a dilemma for people like us. But the way I think about it is like this, you know, it's all we have available. There's not a market here for, like, private security. So if you are really in danger, I mean, we have a fortified door in our house and stuff, and we're pretty okay. You know, obviously we don't have guns because we're disarmed, but I've got an awful lot of golf clubs. And let me tell you, I could swing one. And that's the thing. So, but I know what you mean. If you are in a position where you, I mean, say someone's chasing you down the street. If someone's chasing me down the street with a knife and I turn a corner and I see a policeman standing there, I'm going to shout him over. You know, I'm going to do that because this guy's going to kill me, you know, and he's the only guy that's going to jump in for me just now.
You think you want to involve them? Do you really? Do you see?
If a guy's running behind me with a knife, yes. Yeah, I do. If someone's running behind me with a knife.
Why don't you have a knife?
Yeah, because. Because if I'll get stopped and searched, and I'll get mine taken.
Oh, that's illegal? You can't have a knife where you are?
You can't walk around carrying a knife now.
Oh, wow, that's sad.
If the police search me and they find the knife on me, I'll be in trouble.
You know, in New Hampshire, you can walk around with any size blade you want. You can walk around with a katana.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
we have a big knife culture here.
people really do it. I work at a thrift store, and I saw one of our customers who came in to use to buy some Bitcoin, actually. He walked in with a knife that had to be like 2 feet long. It was so big. Wow. It was like a sword. And I, you know, just admired it, said, oh, hey, nice knife and everything. But yeah, people like open carry knives the way people in the Wild West carried guns, you know, with the big holsters and the all leather belts and everything. It's pretty cool. It's part of a culture that I never really had experienced, because back where I'm from in New Jersey, knives are like bigger than your palm are not allowed. You can only have like a knife, I guess, about the size of like one finger or something. Nothing that really would strike fear into the hearts of an assailant. Just something to cut your steak with.
Yeah, no, it's because we don't have guns here. I mean, there is guns. There's, you know, certain people have licenses, and there's also, I mean, criminals can get guns quite easily here. Actually, the guns, from what I know, the guns aren't that expensive here. It's the ammunition that's more expensive, because it's kind of harder to get in for whatever reason, from what I understand.
It's weird.
But, you know, so then as a result, we do have a big knife culture, you know, so that's why they sort of outlawed the carrying of knives. It's like,
that's terrifying.
The Fiends about how in nightclubs, they're not allowed to have glasses here. They have to be plastic, because there's been too many people what called glassing each other. I've talked to this before on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, wrapping pint glasses around people's heads. So they even had to outlaw that, you know, because there is quite a kind of, there's a reputation associated with Glasgow, and it is quite justified, because I've been in some of the sort of worst parts of the city, and there you will see people walking about with knives.
Oh, this is why we can't have like nice things. This is so frustrating to me, because it's like you ban one thing and then it starts a whole ban train. It's like, oh, we can't have guns because people might hurt each other. And then it's like, well, okay, now we can't have knives because people might hurt each other. Okay, well, now we can't have glasses because people... Okay, are we going to pad the whole bar here? Are we going to, like, put Nerf material over every corner of... this is ridiculous. You can't Nerf the world and make it completely safe.
Oh, that seems to be what they think. It's really weird, isn't it? Like, this whole... Yeah,
it's like those. Do you remember those toys? I don't know if you had the same experience, but on playgrounds, when I was a kid, playgrounds were just starting a transition into like being fluffy, bouncy playgrounds from being hard metal teeter totters. Where if you went up there and fell off, you'd break your neck, and we liked it that way. To now, everything's so fluffy. If you fall from the top, you'll bounce to the moon.
See, I don't spend a lot of time in play parks anymore, but when I did, it was say in the 90s, so I was born in the 80s, so I grew up in the 90s, and it was like bark we had, like sort of tree bark, so it was like underneath the playground was like soil and tree bark, so if you did fall, you'd still hurt yourself, but it'd be a lot better than if you like hit concrete or something like that.
Yeah, it was a gentle
transition.
That seemed
to work just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't wrap kids in, like, you know, in bubble wrap, or, you know, you just can't do that. It's impossible. No.
Hey, how hard would it be for you to arm yourself there? You don't have to tell me. Oh. You don't have to incriminate yourself. But I want to know.
Illegally or legally? It would be easier illegally.
I bet it would.
That way.
I think that's the case in most places. Worms. Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Sad when the police kill people. It seems to happen all the time now. Every time I crack open a newspaper, every time I'm looking at the websites on the internet, I'm like, oh no, the police have killed another person. It seems to happen all the time over here. Is that just an American thing, Dan?
It's like it's the police don't kill as many people here like they do in America. I mean, it almost seems like we're getting a story out every other week now.
I'm tired of
someone,
it.
You know, it's really been... The media are really picking up on it, and it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that it's a kind of weird thing. It seems to be like a lot of black men and things like that, and it seems...
No, it's not. Okay, can I interrupt and say, no, it's not.
I was just going to say that that's how it's presented to us, so tell me how it really is. That's just how it's presented.
All right, let
me
tell you from my
white,
cisgendered, privileged... you know, perspective here that I've got no room to talk, but it's white guys too, all right? It's white gals too. It's not a guy, gal, white, black, anything. It's a power thing. It's there's goons in uniforms and badges who think they own you. And that's the shirt that I've got on today under my hoodie is who owns you? It's a good question to ask yourself. I believe that you own you. I own me, and I have the highest claim to my body and my life, higher than anyone else. And, you know, when I encounter police on the streets or anywhere else, when they're in uniform, they often act as if they own me, that they can order me around. And I don't know where they think they got that authority, but I never consented to that situation. That's not the relationship that I want to have.
Nope, I never signed the social contract either, Derek.
I don't know, that's what they'll say. I don't know.
That must have missed me, it must have been... But why do you think that... See, for me, from... Well, I've been... You okay?
Yeah, well, for a second you, like, flashed out, so can you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, why do you think then, like, because when I look at some US media and the sort of British media, it seems to be portrayed as a sort of race thing in America, and you're saying that it's not a race thing at all. Why do you think a lot of the mainstream media is trying to portray these police killings as like a race thing? Do you think that's deliberately, or do you think that's just how it's coming out?
Because that's what sells papers, man. You know, the newspaper and news industry is going through a shift right now. They're like struggling for readers and clicks, and this is what is going to sell the most papers. If you make it a race thing, I think that's going to draw more attention than just what bleeds leads. Oh, another person killed by a cop. I think people get tired of that story, and they want to hear more of a black versus white, him versus mm-hmm. them. You know, they want a versus, and it can't be police versus the people. That that just would not be an acceptable story, right? So it has to be black versus white somehow, which is really confusing in this story with Freddie Gray in Baltimore, because big surprise, the chief of police is black in Baltimore, and this is really confusing the people, and it really upsets me, because they should not be like, well, I think he's got our back. What's his name? It's Blatt or something is this police chief's name. I want to find one of the quotes from one of these women I read earlier. I can't find it exactly right away, but she basically said, well, I think he's for us, you know, talking about the police chief, because he'll come out and make some speeches now and then being like, oh, we need to investigate, and maybe these officers didn't follow the course of their duties or whatever. And then so she'll say, oh, I think he's with us. Meanwhile, the police union in Baltimore is trying to distance themselves from the police chief, saying that, you know, they all deserve to be considered innocent until proven guilty, just like any other people charged with crime. And the people are flipping off the police. They're getting into confrontations with, like, creating a line between... them and like a fence at the police department. There are police on horses that are like trampling people and arresting them. It's pretty weird. Oh. The situation in Baltimore is really weird. And I think it doesn't help to make it a racial thing, because it confuses the issue. There are good and bad black and white cops, and all other colors
too. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, but the one thing that they all have in common is they wear that badge and claim to have authority over you and your life.
I don't know. And a lot of people take that very seriously.
They do, and I want to find a way. We have to find a way If we can do it in this episode, that'd be great, Dan. But I need to find a way to reconcile this. Yeah, this like lion versus limpy gazelle thing into like, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Let's all get together for humanity here and do something right and good for the world. Can we do it?
Can it be done?
I don't know. Hello. Let's find out.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow. Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Into microphones and yakking about people drones. People drones called the police. I think of them often as drones. I wish they wouldn't be drones. They all have the power of discretion. And cops will tell you this, like, oh, well, I wouldn't give you a speeding ticket if you're just going 5 miles over the speed limit. I'm just going to give you a warning, right? Because I got discretion. Even if you're breaking the law, I don't have to arrest you. But in some cases, they throw that discretion far on the other direction and go and chase you and kill you for reasons that they don't really have justification for. Like this guy, Freddie Gray, who I'm feeling really sad for today. Because he mysteriously died in police hands in a van that they dragged him into, and then when they dragged him out of it, he was dead. So how does a thing like this happen? There's a lot of question marks, and it's got me thinking about police in general, the nature of police. And we're talking a little bit about the difference between police in the States and the UK, Scotland specifically, and people's attitudes towards them. You were telling me, Dan, that people are not armed in Scotland, but the police are. How's that work? And can you level the playing field at all?
Not all police are. There's like armed, what they call armed response units. Routinely, the police only have like a thing, like just like a club or what you would probably call a nightstick in the US.
Yeah.
Because we're not armed, you know. Let's play fair. But
are they a stick? Like stick? Is that a fake thing? Is that just in the movies? The sticks that, like, they jam into your gut and it makes you throw up?
It's one of those ones that they can extend it, but, like, the handle comes sort of out towards them, if you know what I mean, while the baton is down their arm. So yeah. If someone's got a knife, they can actually put it in front of them and then they can spin it around and hit you with it. Yeah. Just my understanding of it. But
wow, very technical, high-tech weapon here. A blunt object.
And that's the thing. They've been deploying more armed police to what are routine calls. That's been on the increase, and there've actually been a lot of like newspapers, like the Scotsman, and that, like, bringing this to light and questioning why this is happening. And I think actually one of the Police Scotland chief constables, I think one stepped down not so long ago, actually, if I remember correctly, because of all this and stopping and searching kids, like I said, who are under 12.
Well, that's no good.
Imagine searching a child under 12, man. Come on.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. But that's no good that a guy would step down. I mean, isn't he in the highest position of authority to say, like, we're not going to do this anymore, okay, everybody? I'm in charge. And, you know, it's not like this is one of the incentives problems with policing is that, people say, oh, it's just a few bad apples, but then when I look at the real-life examples of this guy and other police, the good ones leave. The good ones are offended by their job requirements. They're like, I can't, with good conscience, pat down a child, assuming they're some sort of terrorist. I don't want to live in a police state. And then the goon squad of people who don't think, the mouth breathers who just want to follow orders like a bunch of dogs, are like, hey, I get great benefits. I'll sign up for this rights invading organization. Who cares? They give me big guns and lots of power to push people around, you know? So then the police forces fill up with those idiots, and then all the good people leave. And where do they go? I mean, what happens to them? I wish there was some alternative organization. I know this is a lot of like, oh, pie in the sky, Derek's just wishing on the radio. But no, there are organizations like Threat Management Center in Detroit, which is a private organization founded by a former law enforcer, where he's like, I'm going to do it right, where I'm going to police the streets and make people actually feel safe instead of afraid of me. You know, not the Batman method of striking fear into the hearts of people, but the Superman method of standing for justice and what's right. And, you know, not using police abuse and brutalizing people. Instead, using firearms as little as possible and using deterrence to reduce violence.
Yeah, because there's non-violent deterrence as well. Non-lethal deterrence is what I mean to say. You know, there's other things apart from guns you could use.
Like words?
Well, yeah, aye, that would be... Well, that's where someone like me or you, we would go first to words, but, you know, evidently some of these policemen don't go there first, you know? They go violence first, words later.
Have you ever stopped a fight?
I'd rather go for the words first. Have I stopped a fight? Well, I've stopped loads of fights. Are you joking me? Man, I live in Scotland.
Do you use words?
I do, yeah. I'm not a violent person, and I very rarely get in fights. I've only been, I could count them on, like, maybe one hand, the proper fights I've been in. I've seen a lot of times people getting all a bit up with each other when they're a bit drunk in the pub and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm one, me and, like, there's other people as well, like, in my kind of group that would sort of step in and be like, hold on, let's just calm down a minute. Just chill out a bit.
So
then,
walk
you know,
me
we
through it.
Can get it resolved.
So walk me through it. I'm starting a fight with some guy. Oh, I don't like the color of your hair. I think your mother is ugly. So then,
is it someone you know, or is it?
No, I'm just starting a fight with some random guy in the pub.
And you're my mate.
Yeah. Oi.
Yeah. Right.
Hey,
so,
this guy looked at me square.
Right. I would put my hand on your chest and I would push you away from him and I would say, Why the... I almost said a bad word there, but I didn't. Why the word I can't say on radio? Are you doing that? You don't even know that guy. What's the point in trying to pick a fight with him? Just calm down. What's the point? We're just going to get kicked out. You're just going to ruin our night. There's no need for it. Just calm the word I can't say on radio down.
Okay. All right. So, and that usually works. Sometimes that works for me.
You don't always get... It doesn't always happen straight away, but sometimes like it's like, no, but he's said this, and you're like, no, but it doesn't matter right now.
So you
know,
use,
like, forget
you really
it. Think
do,
of it in the morning.
You do really use reason. I mean, but you did say you put your hand on his chest. That's one forceful action. You're sort of invading his personal space there. What do you think? You own him? Do you own your friend?
No, but the reason is because I assume he wants me to... Well, I assume the best thing for everyone is to defuse the situation, and if he's too close to the other person, and they're within, you know, hooking distance of each other, as in punching distance,
right.
Then, you know, I don't want them within that distance, so that's why I'm going to take him aside, but obviously he's too fired up to listen
straight
away. That
seems pretty dangerous for you. Do you ever get mixed up in these things, where you're trying to break up a fight and you get hit?
Yeah. I have done once or twice. I've been punched a lot of times.
How?
It's not really surprising I have, but no, but it's the kind of thing where I find that people listen more to you if you take them to one side. See, instead of you in the middle of two guys arguing, trying to shout, I find that if you actually, you know, like, it's a bit forceful, but it's not violent. If you pull someone and take them to one side, then they're more likely to listen to you.
Yeah, just focus
on
one.
You're more like... And you're more likely to get heard as well, instead of you just in the middle of a bunch of guys shouting at each other, making, you know, random Scottish noises at each other, you know?
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, you know, I saw a recent confrontation on the New York City public subway, and some Swedish police intervened. And I didn't watch the video all the way through. I just saw some of the headlines about it. But basically, the police were on the subway. They were not... operating. They weren't like doing their jobs. They just happened to be Swedish police officers, and they put the two guys basically to the ground and separated them, and then asked them if they were okay. Like, how are you feeling? Are you all right? Are you hurt anywhere? And like, this is not how police in the United States operate generally. They don't care if you're hurt. They often inflict more damage on you, and anyway, I was surprised at the tactics that they use, but it's similar to what you're describing, where they just separate the people. Yeah. It seems very natural. Like, you know, that's how it's supposed to be.
I see the police doing that. I actually see the police doing that a lot, and sometimes with, like, here with, like, you know, good results. I remember standing in a train station, central station in Glasgow at nighttime, and there was this drunk guy annoying this woman, and he was trying to tell her some kind of story, and he was getting all in her face, and she was kind of middle-aged, and she was just trying to get away from him, and one of the police spotted it, and he walked up and he said, "Right, are you on your way home now?" to the drunk guy, and he was like, "I'm telling her this story," and he kind of just tapped him and he said, "Look, I think you should be just going on your way home now, right? I'll see you later." And the drunk guy actually went, "All right, okay." And the drunk guy started walking away. "I'll see you later." And the police went, "Yep, I'll see you later." And he actually defused that situation quite well.
Nice.
Didn't grab him, didn't manhandle him, just sort of talked to him on his crazy drunken level and got rid of him.
The power of suggestion and of respect, having respect and not owning a person, talking to him like, "You're going to do this." It's the suggestion so that it's still that other guy's idea. Like, "Oh, yes, yeah, I was going on my way, right?" I like that.
Thank you for helping me on my way.
Yeah, I could see that. That sort of power dialectic. I think we're coming to a solution here, Dan. In our conversation, we're finding that parallel enforcement, or I don't know what to call it, horizontal enforcement is better than vertical enforcement, and basically anyone can do it, even if you're an off-duty police officer, even if you're just a regular guy in a pub. It's like, you don't need to have a special badge of authority to help a situation, help defuse a violent situation. You can be just a regular person. Now, I'm not saying, like, jump in and intervene in every situation, but I'm just saying, like, horizontal, person-on-person, treating others with respect as if you are both independent people who own your bodies is the way to do it.
Yeah, I could give you a different but related example.
Please.
I recall one time I was driving my van and someone had been knocked down in the street, and so the traffic was piling up and stuff, and it was all becoming a big mess because it was a busy time. And I remember these couple of guys parking up their cars off the road and getting out, and the two of them, just regular guys, starting to direct the traffic. And they got things moving and stuff, and there was enough people around. This person had been knocked down. The people from the local pharmacy came running out. There was a pharmacy just 2 minutes down the road. They came running out to help. These two guys, just random guys in normal clothes, were directing the traffic around, and everything got moving and going. And then obviously when the ambulance and police got there, there was a clear path for them to get through because it wasn't all backed up everywhere with traffic. So that's another example of just people doing what they have to do.
I love that. I love that story. I feel like I almost need to backtrack on what I said, where I was like, "Oh, don't intervene," you know, but like, yes, do intervene. Do take charge. Do take some responsibility for what's going on in the world. Instead of, you know, I feel this way sometimes, like, is anybody going to do anything? Isn't anybody going to stand up? You know, isn't anybody going to direct traffic for us? This is a mess. Well, why not take it upon yourself to direct traffic in those situations? Why not, you know, take it upon yourself to be the leader, to be in charge for that moment?
Yeah.
When you're looking to someone else.
Yeah, people can do that. I mean, you're no different than them. What, you haven't gone to their training school, so what? You know, it doesn't mean you can't direct traffic. I've seen people direct traffic. It doesn't look that difficult.
It's not rocket science.
It is not.
Though I wish the government would stop doing it. They do a pretty poor job of it. And it trains people to obey lights instead of use their head and use reason and use their eyeballs.
Yeah.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Yodi, 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 yo. Heidi, 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 I. How are you today, Dan?
Me? I'm good.
How are I'm you sad today? That you're not armed. When I think about this, like, this show, typically both hosts are sitting with a big gun on their desks. And it makes me not feel here. Safe, you know. I know no one's going to run into the studio and shoot me, so I'll shoot first.
Dude, I've got a reinforced door, man. Nobody's getting in here.
Yeah, I guess that's what you need. It's a good reinforced door. I don't actually worry about being attacked. New Hampshire's like one of those places where so many people are armed. Most of the criminals just say, I'll go to one of the close by states, like Massachusetts. It'd be so much easier to rob a house in Massachusetts than New Hampshire, because there's such a less likelihood that they're armed.
Yeah, I had a friend, and he was going out with this girl who was from Texas, and she was talking, this is at a time when I was kind of anti-gun, and I was sort of asking her about it, and she said in Texas people are a lot nicer to you than they are here because they fear that you've got a gun on you.
Oh, come on. You think that's really true? I don't like that attitude of
that's
like,
what she said.
Oh, I fear so you, so I'm going to... Well, yeah, well... She could be wrong, because I don't know. People could just be nicer because they're nicer. Some cultures are just different, you know, depending on where you are or what the people are like or what the environment is, how met their needs are where they're at.
See if I'm thinking about it, if I'm like a sort of scumbag and I'm looking for someone to beat up or something, and if I see a guy who looks kind of older than me and stuff, and I think I'm younger and sprightlier, and if I think we're going no one's armed, we're going to a one-on-one, I'm going to definitely win. But then if I think that guy might have a gun on him and he might be really quick and shoot me, then I'm thinking differently. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get you. I want respect to be... You know, something that comes out of goodwill, not out of fear. I want people to respect me, not because I'm wearing a gun on my hip, but because I'm wearing a smile on my face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know what you mean. It's just that we have so many scumbags. Like what we do, you know?
Yeah.
There's this minority that want to ruin it for the majority, you know? And that's the problem more than the police, you know? It's the people that ruin it for the rest of us. It's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, but about those people, you know, some of them are police. And I do want to continue to focus on that a little bit because I want a solution. I want to be on good terms. I want to have... I don't know, some rational philosophy of how to approach police that's consistent and not like, well, be afraid of them, but also take them out to coffee. You know, it's like there's this sort of weird separation that's still going on in my head that I can't quite square this circle. It's like, I don't know. Would you even be able to talk to any of your local police? Like, do you know the local police? Is there such a thing as local police? No. Or are they all just faceless, you know, you're never going to see the same cop again sort of thing?
It depends where you live. For example, in sort of more deprived areas, what you might call here estates or schemes or something like that, sort of housing projects, maybe it would be analogous in the US. Then the police know all the local nutters and all that, you know, and they're around there a lot and they know all the people. I live in a kind of weird area because there's some expensive flats here and some really, really cheap ones. So you've got a mix of like people who have quite a bit of money who drive like fancy cars and junkies. So, you know, and drunks. So you've got this big weird mix of people where I live, so I don't see the police around here a lot. We live in a kind of off the, it's actually kind of hard to find where our flat is because it's just like a wee door that you wouldn't notice into the tenement, sort of close, we call it, you know. You would never know it's there, so we're just kind of out of the way. But I live in this kind of weird area where you do get a lot of drunks and stuff, but there's a lot of more upper class people. But to be honest, I don't see the police around here very much. I mean, the nearest police station's about a 20-minute walk away, but I rarely see the police around here unless something's happened.
I wonder what kind of environment I could create that would invite the police or make them feel welcome. Like, you know, I would want, like, a dance, because that's just sort of how I am. It's like, oh, yeah, let's have a club. Like, let's have a dance party or something with the police. but I think, there's got to be something unifying. Like, music is one of those things that does sort of unify people. I wonder if there could be some sort of like get together, hoedown, sing along, karaoke. I don't know. Like, what is going to bring people and the police onto the same page in a way that's totally non-threatening? Like, I would be afraid if I went to some get together with the police that they're going to bother me over pot or something. They're going to be like, you yeah. smell like weed.
Victimless.
And I'm going to go back to being a police officer for a moment. I'm going to throw you in jail. No, like, I guess I've got to let my guard down and sort of trust them not to be dicks.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Worms.
Worms.
Meow.
Meow. Worms.
Meow, 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 meow. Woof.
Meow.
Wake up, Scotland. Wake up, Paducah. Yeah, good morning all. It is the early morning of Monday, the 27th, here in the New Hampshire region from whence I am broadcasting. And, you know, I'm trying to come up with this unified theory of encountering police or police encounters. And I'm struggling with it, but I think it's coming together a little bit. Scratches on paper have been reduced to chalkings on chalkboards, and I think we're going to get there to an E equals MC squared moment if we keep
this
trying.
This must have been like Friedrich Nietzsche in his study hammering out his books, you know?
Yeah, this is how it happens. So, like, I want to do a call to action and encourage every listener to go out and seek a positive interaction with a police officer. Like, I'm often finding myself doing exactly, well, not exactly the opposite, but I run from the police. Like, I'm just, police officer, I can use a detour today. I don't need to go this way. And it's not always because I'm doing something wrong. I just really don't want to encounter these people. Like I said, I often view them as the lions to my limpy gazelle. And I'm just like, they're going to see me as a prey, and I want to avoid them completely. Which is pretty much like why I feel like some empathy for this Freddie Gray guy, regardless of whatever he did, if he did anything at all. When I see police, I want to run away. So for them to chase after him, tackle him, and then kill him, it's like pretty frightening. So I want to encourage people to, instead of running away, why not walk up to a police officer and have a polite conversation? You know, keep it calm and polite. It could be even just about the weather, but I feel like having those positive interactions with regular civilians or like submitizens, it does something to break down the us versus them wall in their minds and in your mind. It's healthy for both of us to see each other as people, right? And that's what I want.
Yeah.
If we all see each other as people, we're a lot less likely to bash on each other's heads, and we're a lot more likely to use words and persuasion rather than violence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's just, how do you get there? Like you said, you were saying to me that you know your local police, you see them, like, when you're at a shop or whatever, you know, you say hi to them, you know who they are. And personally, I've got no idea. They're just sort of faceless government drones to me, you know. I think it's because I'm sort of more, I don't know. There's obviously so many differences between where we live, but I think it's just here. I don't know any of the police, you know. I see random faces when something thing happens. Like, I live near a main road, so when there's a car crash, then suddenly they're everywhere, and then you don't see them for like 3 months.
But you could, yeah. Right? Like, you could go up and talk to them. It doesn't need to be like a one-on-one, oh, hey, Jim, how's it going? Good to see you again sort of relationship. It could just be a every time you see a cop, you might have a conversation about... I don't know, death metal, whatever interests you. Maybe death metal's not the no, best topic to bring up with the police.
And what I'm worried about is because I'm a bit weird, then they'd start thinking that this we should watch this guy, right. And then they'd be all in my business. So that's like, what worries me. That's why I don't.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Daniel. Tell me more about what's in them, your pockets.
I'm not like running a meth lab out the house or anything, right? You don't go into it, but like, I'd just rather, you know, be left alone. You know, I don't want them to be focusing on me the way I know they do on some people. I've got some friends who have relatives who have been... let's just say, and a lot of trouble with the law. They've been in an infamous jail here called Barlinnie a number of times, and the police watch them like hawks, man. You know,
but
like
you're feeding into it. See, you're feeding into the us versus them mentality.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
You're doing it right now. And they're not, you know, they were individuals who put those friends of yours away, or your relationship, I don't know what you said, were they family members?
It was my friends.
Your friends.
I could say this, my friend's uncle and his brother. Let's put Yikes. It that way. That's vague enough.
Yeah.
So don't talk to the guy anymore. So
but it was like individuals who did that, right? It wasn't all the police. And you can still have good conversations with some police officers and not think of them as like potentially, I don't know, kidnappers. You don't have to think of them that way.
That's the only way, well, apart from like the one or two things that I've described, apart from that, I suppose another time I had an interaction with the police is we were what we call dogging school, or what you would probably say playing hooky.
Oh, nice.
That makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had skateboards, and we were like 15 or whatever, and we saw a police car, and we ran away, and the police came after us, and they eventually
no!
caught me and my mate.
No!
We'd gone different ways. My mate ran into a door shop and tried to find a door, and I ran into a train station, but we both got caught. But then the police were like, we were acting all sort. They thought we'd stolen the skateboards, which we hadn't, but they thought that for some reason. And then they went through our bags, and they went through my mate's bag,
man.
And seen like a bunch of like half-written letters, if you know what I mean, like a bunch of sort of Andrew will be off sick today because you know this kind of thing. That wasn't
Uh-oh.
His name, but like, makes the point. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, but then that made them realize that we weren't running away from them because we were stealing skateboards. It was because we were, you know, dogging school or playing hooky.
And
then
what
they took
they
us back to they took us back to school, and they actually didn't. They should have taken us up to the head teacher's office, but they actually just said, "On you go," and they just let us get out the car. But we walked into the school right through and out the back, and we just played hooky again.
And thank you very much for the ride. That was very fun. And here we go, off again.
And I said to my mate, "What if they see us again?" He'll be like, "I think they'll probably just laugh." They never saw us again, though.
That's a good attitude to have. I hope they just laughed. It seems like the police there are gentler than they are here. Like, maybe there are more of them, and maybe they're more faceless, I don't know. But I don't hear stories like that happening in the U.S. Like, I have a friend who was traveling through New York City, and he was 17 at the time. I think he's 18 now. And it's apparently illegal to be walking around underage without ID in New York City today. I didn't know that.
Well,
people used
scary.
To do. I know people used to do that. I don't know, for centuries, but now it's illegal. And so I guess he didn't have any school ID on him because he's homeschooled, and so he was arrested. He, you know, like, oh hey kid, what are you doing around here? You know, don't you know it's dangerous? People could abduct you and kidnap you and take you away from your friends and family and do horrible things to you. Here, to protect you from that, now I'm going to take you away from your friends and family and do horrible things to you, throw you in a cage. So it's like, okay. So yeah, I don't know. It would be nice if they just sent him off to school and said, on your way then, here you go, sir. But I don't know, in the U.S., like, I don't know why it is the police act differently. I think it's because they don't have enough of these human relation moments. Like, there was this guy, Adrian Schoolcraft, I don't know if you heard about him, but he's one of the NYPD, New York City police officers, who carried an audio recorder. in with him to, for his regular job, and he recorded the chief of police and his head honcho guy basically giving out quotas, saying, like, I want this street to be a ghost town. I want to be able to hear an echo from one end of the street to the other. You know, I want these bodies filling these cells. And it, basically, he was telling them to just make arrests, false arrests. It doesn't matter. And this guy, Adrian Schoolcraft, recorded this stuff happening in the NYPD. And I think it's if people like that encountered a conversation once a day with an average person who's just like, hey, how's it going? How's your day? What's going on? You know, what are you guys doing today? Yeah. All right. Yeah. My mom's sick, or my mom's, how's your family or whatever? Just talking about stuff. They wouldn't be able to look at you as subhuman, you know? Like, I feel like the police, whereas when I was arrested quite famously here in Keene, New Hampshire several times, and I made a movie out of it called Victimless Crime Spree. People can watch it free at victimlesscrimespree.com. But now, so when I arrived, I was sort of a faceless, I don't want to have a conversation with these guys. I had a chip on my shoulder about the police state in Philly. And, you know, I moved to New Hampshire in search of more freedom, found more police, and was upset by that and got arrested. So, but now that they know me, now that I've had conversations and we, like, know each other on a personal level, I feel like the police are a lot less likely to arrest me or do bad things to me because they know me as a person, you know, they see me as a person. And I guess that's the remedy. I think that's the key that I've been looking for is, so we need to, like, humanize ourselves and the police in order to end all this madness. We need to see each other as equals, as individuals, and as humans, not as lions or limpy gazelles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they moved away from that, you know, in the first hour I talked.
Who's
about
they?
It was they?
Come
as
on,
in
you're
the police.
Feeding into well, it, man.
Well, do you know what I mean, though? Because there was regional police forces here that were more in touch with, you know, the concerns of their community. But then when they made it this one Police Scotland, when they unified all the forces into, you know, centralised power, then they made it harder for us to do what you're saying, I think.
No personally. Way, man. There is no they. There isn't a they. There isn't one. It doesn't
the
exist.
You're the they to me. I'm talking about the Scottish National Party. I just don't like them.
But do you know what I mean by that? Like, do you kind of agree with me? I mean, like, there is no they. There are these individual police officers who are guys just like you and me who just put on a little costume and they're like prancing around thinking that they're heroes or something because, you know, they always looked up to the police or whatever their motivation is. And like, there's this guy, I don't know if you've heard about this guy, this is kind of crazy, out in where I'm from. I think he was arrested in the Jersey area. His name is Stefan, and he was working like one of those Brinks trucks where they carry money around and they need to be in like an armored vehicle. It's like a tank, and the people who drive these things are armed. Well, anyway, this guy, he had a job working for that, and one day put his gun that he uses for work in his glove box of his car because his like sister was coming down and he didn't want her to play with the gun or whatever, so he put it out of sight and locked it up. Forgot it was there, was pulled over, mentioned to the police officer, hey, I got this gun in the car. The police is like, oh, that's very interesting. Now you're under arrest. So he's, you know, so he gets in trouble for having this gun where he's not supposed to. And all the while, he's still fighting this in court right now. He's asking for a pardon from the governor. He wants to be a police officer.
Oh,
and I'm like, dude, the police arrested you, man. The police arrested you for something you didn't even hurt anybody. You look up to them? Do you look up to the people who arrested you and put you in a cage, ruined the rest of your life and the prospects of you getting a new job?
I don't get it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Meow! Meow, 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 meow. Worms, 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 worms. Freedom Fiends!
Reconvenes for one final segment. This is Redemption in the Third Act, where we wrap up the show and leave your the hamster in your brain calm and sleepy. So yeah, I think we solved our police problem in the States and around the world. We did it tonight. Thank you, Dan.
Derek's grand theory of policing.
Yes, I think it all comes down to be polite, stay calm, and humanize, man.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that's what it's about. Now we're going to play Libertarians Against Humanity for the last segment. This is a fun game invented
just for funsies.
Yeah, by one of our co-hosts, Jim Jesus. And you can get these cards at libertariansagainsthumanity.com. I do it every time they come out because these things are so fun. And they're, you know, something for just you and weird libertarian types. So, and anyone who wants to laugh. So, I don't know. I've got a couple of these. The way it works is there are black cards and white cards. Not that this is a racial thing. And you read the black cards have blanks in them, and you fill in those blanks with the white cards. So, I'm going to read a black card to you, Dan. And I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks. Let's start out with an easy one. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Audit blank.
Fringe elements.
Fringe elements. Wow. You know, fringe elements. Speaking of, do you know who Fringe Elements is?
Not so much, no. I've kind of heard the name, but I don't really know.
Fringe Elements, truth be told, is the YouTuber who turned me into an anarchist.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ryan Falk, and I actually have a crush on this guy, and I've reached out to him. It's like one of those Florence Nightingale syndrome things where, like, the nurse who heals you ends up being the one you fall in love with. Well, like, this guy, Ryan Falk, is Fringe Elements on YouTube, and used to make... He's like a crazy white nationalist now, and I don't know. I don't want to say bad things about him, but he did produce
the
videos.
Why have a lot of formerly good podcasts gone there?
I don't know. Maybe that's just the natural progression. We're not there yet. We'll one day all be white nationalists. But anyway, this guy, Ryan, he's gay and really effeminate. And I had a crush on him. Like, as he was producing these videos, I didn't even know he was gay at the time, and I reached out being, like, basically, like, hey, if you're ever in Philly, you know, I'll buy you lunch or whatever, you know, we should talk. He never got back to me, was never interested, never reciprocated in any way, and I've produced...
Oh, Dedek.
I've produced hundreds of videos at this point now, and I think I've surpassed him on YouTube in... Huh? In some respects, in, like, views, and anyway, I'm sort of like, well, take that, Ryan. I don't need you. So anyway, that's Fringe Elements. All right, next black card.
Oh.
Blank says, I'm blank, the opposite of what America does.
Okay, so does that mean I give you two?
Yeah, we need two blanks.
Okay, so, say it again.
I want to skip that one. That's too confusing and hard. I tried smoking blank one time at Porkfest.
A hot libertarian woman getting lots of hits on YouTube recycling verbatim things she heard on LRN.
Oh! Ouch. Boy, that's extra painful going out over LRN. All right, so...
That's volume two I'm using.
Well, you know, the real problem with government is blank.
A task almost as unbearable as explaining the economic calculation problem to a Zeitgeister.
Ooh, that is tough. You ever tried doing that?
That's tough.
Are there a lot of Zeitgeisters hobnob with?
I met a few. I was a bit enamored with it when I was a bit younger. You know, it's this idea that a big computer will centrally plan the economy and none of us will have to work and we'll just get everything for free and the computer will look after us. It comes from the Venus Project. I can't remember the guy's name, Jack Fresco or something like that, that started the Venus Project. They were aligned with him, but I don't even think he likes them anymore. It's just like, I don't know, I think those ideas go back to early philosophers who presumed that we could control the world with machines. Weird.
Worms. You can't do that. Hey, I got one last one. Let's do a couple more.
Okay.
Derek J was denied a concealed carry permit because he was found guilty of blank.
Piers Morgan.
That would do it. Oh, man. What will finally
be
rid
found
us...
guilty of Piers Morgan?
This is the last one. What will finally rid us of the state?
Oh, this is a personal one. Shooting mail carriers.
That'll do it for this episode of the Freedom Fiends. I hope we calmed the hamster in your brain tonight. And resolved
sure
that problem of dangerous policing once and for all. Hey, Michael will return sometime this week. But until next time, hold on to your hearts, worms.